I just try not to when I know we're live.
Oh, sure.
When
we're recording now.
Oh, shit. Okay. I gotta clean this fucking crap up. Sorry.
Hey, watch your fucking mouth, okay? Jesus fucking Christ. What the hell do you think you're doing? This is a respectable goddamn podcast.
Yeah, right. This is not work fucking friendly.
Almost live from across the USA. This is Late Night. Your hosts tonight are Joel, Barry, Barty, and Michael, the Happy New Year Youper. Tonight, Michael almost slides off a mountain, Barty makes level 6, and Joel dances with a Jeep around a bonfire. Good times. All that and more on Late Night! Killer! And now, digitally gathering to ring in another new year!
Yay!
Here's Joel, Barry, Barty, and Michael! Hey, everybody. Ooh. Oh, shut up, Barty.
Sorry, I forgot we were starting. I'm sorry.
God, Barty. Just keep it shut for 2 seconds, okay?
Fucking brandy.
Two fucking seconds, Barty. Just keep it quiet for 2 fucking seconds.
Oh, I'll mute my mic. How's that?
Okay. Welcome, everybody, to Late Night QRM show number 203. Happy New Year! It's 2016! Woo! And we'll see what happens with this. I've gone to yet a different software package. It's an old software package, but it's the newer version of it. And it was working fine in all my testing for it, and as soon as I tried to set up for the podcast, I was getting crap.
So, of course you were.
Yeah.
And who are you?
Oh, I'm Barry J. from the Monadnock region and southwest New Hampshire, even.
Oh, my God. It's Barry fucking J.
Hi. Who the fuck are you?
He's the tortilla chip dude.
I'm Los Tortillas Chippas El Machoist in South Central New Hampshire. This is Joel.
You're not the Frito Bandito?
No, he ain't no damn bandito. And from the snowy Tug Hill region of Central New York, this is Half-Lit Barty.
Half-Lit? And from the suburbs of Copper Harbor, where we're about 80 to 90 inches of snow behind schedule this year, and nobody's complaining except for the business owners, this is Michael, the Virtual Uber.
I thought you were going to say we're 80 or 90 inches of snow, period.
What? No, we got snow. We're just
that'd be
schedule.
Low for you.
Hey, Barty, hey, back away from your mic a little bit, Barty.
All right. Okay. Sorry.
So, no, that's, you know.
Hey, back away from this, all right? Hey, no.
Oh, Barty, that's not far enough. Back away a little more.
What, you want me to fall down?
A little more, Barty.
Well, I can turn the volume down.
Try the next room, Barty.
Barty, open the garage. Get in the car. Go drive down to the 7-Eleven. Now scream.
No, I can't do that. I haven't cleared the driveway yet.
No, seriously, Barty, just back off the mic a little bit, okay?
Let me grab my glasses and turn the game
so down. You can see the mic?
No, that's what I can see where volume control is and turn it down.
Okay.
It's a little tiny button, you know?
Yeah. You're just a tad lighter or stronger than everybody else, and I don't have you on separate channels, so I you know.
And really, if you saw me, I'm not really that strong. Oh, that's right. I sent you guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are serving up concentrated Barty.
Well, how do I do this?
And by the time the show gets out, he'll be condensed, Barney.
Barney? Or Barney?
Compressed and condensed.
Or dead Barney.
Yes, I'm drinking Jack Daniels, and yes, I'm shit-faced. Hi.
And guess what I'm drinking?
We're enjoying it.
I quickly updated it. Can you see it?
Yes. Ooh, cool.
It's Brickside Brewery Park Bench Porter.
Have you been saving this?
It's almost 2 year old.
Brickside Brewery Park Bench. It's properly aged. Cool.
Yes. It's quite tasty. I still have 3 bottles left.
Ooh. Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow, I'll be over tomorrow. I'll live 25 minutes away.
Yeah.
I thought about that, too. What? Since I've moved up here and I'm only 25 minutes away, you know I ain't been to your house once.
No, you came over once, I think. Or you stopped by. Or you did something once. I think. That's all right. I still haven't been up to your place yet.
No, exactly. It's weird. I lived an hour and 20 minutes away. I was up every other weekend.
Yeah. You know, crap gets in the way. What can I say?
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
So anyway, let's get on with... Oh, I haven't played it in a while. Days of Our Lives.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives.
Ah, we haven't heard that in a while.
I missed it.
That's because I'm using soundboard on the old iPad 2 now. It's become a permanent part of the studio.
There you go.
Yeah. It's like kind of nice because it's a separate keyboard and I can just tap. It's nice.
More buttons.
Yeah. More buttons. Like I don't need any more.
You can use the ones you have.
That's true. Well... I don't know. Well, Joel and I can talk about this. We had finally had our first measurable snowfall.
Yes.
This past week.
Yes.
The whopping, I think we got 3 inches total.
I got 6.
Really?
Yep.
Wow, that's pretty good. I got about 3 inches. And it was debatable whether I should plow it or snowblow it or not. But I said, you know, if I don't snowblow it, it's going to turn to ice, and it'll just be a sheet of ice. So I went out there and snowblowed it.
Oh, good job. I didn't.
Yeah, you know, we got when we get 2 or 3 inches, we just kind of say, fuck it. You know, yep. I mean.
And on one part of my driveway, I could say that. On the other part, I can't because there's a bit of a hill coming up it. So if I let it turn to ice, I'll never use that part of the hill until the end of the... Until all the snow melts in the spring. So I got to keep that clear. Uh-oh.
Yeah. But in our case, the snow, even if it's crusted over with ice, it usually provides more traction. So if you plow it or clear it, whatever, and you get some freezing rain and things like that, it tends to make it worse. So it tends to be better to leave the 2 or 3 inches of snow that your tires can dig into below the ice. Than to just, you know.
And that would have been true if this wasn't, I mean, if you go out, you can walk on top of my front yard right now. Because it was a snow, and then it ended with ice on top of it. And I needed to get that up because it would have just become a nice sheet of ice. And the next day it warmed up a little bit, and that would have just melted it enough for it to refreeze at night. And yeah, I would have had an ice rink out there, so I opted to get it back down to the stone.
Well, damn, you could have played some hockey.
Yeah, well, on hill. and yeah, I was snow blowing a lot of stone.
Yep,
I was stone blowing because the ground wasn't frozen yet.
You were blowing stone. Yeah, I get it.
There you have it.
Yeah.
We just drove on it with the trucks.
Yeah, that'll work.
Yep. I mean, you know, you take the Jeeps and the trucks and drive on it. We smashed it down nice and flat.
Yeah.
Then the cars can get over it. And we do have a hill. We have, actually, I got to come up a friggin' mountainside to get to my driveway, but it worked.
Yep. Well, you're, because your snowplow was where? Your snowplow truck?
In the same town you are right now. With and so, and I took out the old Honda and I fired her up and I'm like, oh, fuck this. This driveway is 500 feet long.
And that was funny that Michael started laughing the minute you started talking about it.
Honest to God, I got home after work and all day Tuesday. I go to fire up the snowblower. It's dark as the ace of spades. I couldn't see shit, even with the floodlights on. And I'm walking behind the snowblower, which has got about a, oh, I don't know, a 28-inch, maybe a 30-inch wide mouth on it. That's it. And I'm looking from my driveway, from my garage to the end of my driveway. No word of a lie. I bet you it's at least 500, maybe 600 feet.
Hmm.
And wide enough that two tractor trailers could pass each other. That's how wide the driveway is. And I'm like, there's no freaking way I'm snow blowing this. I don't have enough gas.
Yeah. So
what would plan B? Jump in the Jeep, jump in the truck, jump in the other truck, and mash it all down flat real hard and make hard pack out of it.
Yeah, that'll work. It wasn't that much snow, so
that was good. 6 inches it packed down just right, and then we got the ice too, but it didn't stick around long.
Yeah. So, but it was the first snow, and it's still out there. Now, on the secondary note, when I was up recording the intro to the last podcast, podcast 201, actually, which was the last one I put out, I was up here and
recorded in 1999.
It was not. Hey, it was actually a December podcast.
And it's good to know that Barry puts out. I know. Shut up, Barry.
Yeah, he had to transcribe it off of an old wire recorder.
Yeah, he had to read it off the old papyrus.
That ticking sound in the background was the ticker tape as I was reading it. I was up here, and I got to say the new roof is nice. It doesn't leak at all.
That's what they're supposed to do.
And
yeah, it's a nice feature in a roof.
The rubbery but slippery stuff that they put on the roof, basically. It hasn't another benefit that I look forward to, except for when it's melting. It actually, the snow melts, and I think when I turned on the lights, I have recessed lights in here, and there's not much distance between the lights and the top of the, or the bottom of the roof. And when I turned them on, all of a sudden, the snow started melting up on the roof. And it was sliding off in sheets, kind of like a sheet metal roof, Barty, like yours?
Yes, I was going to comment about that after you finished talking, because it's been wonderful.
You know, mine's doing the same thing, except for it would slowly slide down, and then it would get to where the you could see the snow was overhanging, and then all of a sudden it would break off and drop. Now, that's okay from the top roof, and it's good because that means the snow is actually getting off the roof instead of staying up there, which is a good thing. But there's a smaller roof down below, and the thing, it would slide off, break off, and hit the lower roof down below. I swear to God, the whole studio was shaking almost, you know, it was like, shoo, blam! I was up here, and it was about every 10 minutes, you know, you'd see all up, I look out the windows, up there goes another sheet, blam, on the bottom roof.
Captain, are the shield holding?
Oh yeah, that's what it felt like.
Yeah, really, Michael.
That's what it felt like, I swear to God. But I'm happy that it's not staying up on the roof anymore, you know, all that extra weight. So I'm glad to see that the roofing that he put up, even though it's not, it's a rubberized roof, but it's slippery. And so the snow slides off when it starts melting. So that's cool.
Very much so.
Yeah. So, Michael.
Yes.
You're finally cleaning the office?
Well, yeah. You know, after this fall with the push to get the new product out the door, and of course all the last minute repairs around town. This place has just become a geek pigsty. I mean, there's been turbine blades and bearings and, you know, mechanical repair, heavy duty gear sitting around here. Plus, I've got all the prototypes that I've been using for testing to get the, you know, product out the door. And it's gotten to the point where there wasn't a flat place in my office to set anything down. And I hate that. I'm a neat-aholic. I'm Felix from The Odd Couple. It just, not quite, but, you know, I'm definitely a little OC when it comes to being neat and clean. And I just couldn't do it the last couple of months. So I came into work today and I was going to sit down and do it. And I looked around and I said, screw it. That's it. I can't take it anymore. And you know, after getting the turbine up and running on New Year's Eve, you know, I was able to, I've got another trip or two to make up there just to make sure all the bolts are tight after it's been running for a bit. But I could haul all the heavy duty tools out of here and start cleaning up the bench and start sorting things. So that's what I've been doing all day and what I will probably do all day tomorrow, to the point where I'll probably have to take a PTO day off, because I owed hours for last week, but I wasn't able to keep up between family medical stuff going on and numerous things failing on New Year's Eve day in town. But I got to have a clean office. So I'm actually enjoying this. I put a couple pictures up on FaceTube, getting lots of comments back.
And yeah, I saw those. They're just, pretty cool.
Just chilling. Yep, yeah. Yep. Put more stuff up on FaceTube today than I have in a year. Wow. Literally.
I enjoyed the fireworks, the New Year's Eve or the New Year's
fireworks.
That was
incredible. Yeah, that fire, and that was just part. That video that you saw was just part of the finale.
That was really cool, and all the people going, yeah.
You know, for all 30 of us there, it was pretty quiet in town. But people, you know, the families that were there got quite the display because, you know, I'm on a couple of the town planning commissions and boards and stuff, and I know how much money we authorize for the fireworks display. So there had to be a silent contributor to this display, and I have a pretty good idea who they are because this was about half the duration of our normal 4th of July.
Wow.
It was, I mean, we're talking, I mean, they only had three mortars set up, but still there was a lot to fire off. And then the finale was pretty spectacular.
Yeah.
So those that came to town, they certainly got quite the show, you know, again, for a little town of 90 people.
Yeah.
I'm pretty proud of them.
It was a great show. I really enjoyed the little segment I saw. And with the trees, the Christmas trees in front, too. So that was pretty neat.
Yep. So.
Yeah, it was really nice.
Yeah. So. All right. Well, that's, and of course, well, we'll go backwards, I guess, backwards and then forward again.
Okay.
Christmas, we had a very quiet Christmas here. It was just the two of us. And, you know, we only got a couple gifts because we did get the iPad Air for Christmas for us, and then we just got a couple little things. Oh, I forgot to bring it up with me. One of them was that's in Geek Corner, so I'll hold off on Geek Corner. One of the little gifts, and I got some pipe tobacco too.
No way! Yeah. Hey, there we go, bro.
And a few more cigars. But my wife made it down to. She found some little store that she really likes. She likes it's actually in I forget the name of it now, but it's in
Nashua.
No, it's not in it's the one below Hollis. What's the town below Hollis? I'm having a brain fart here.
Below Hollis?
Below Hollis. Or next to Hollis.
Say.
Sure, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
New Brooklyn? Boston?
No.
Brookline.
There we go.
With the car repair place, it has a car crashing through the facade.
This place isn't that far away from that, and that's the first thing I was thinking about. Was, you know, you think Brookline, you look at the car crashing through the wall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's your attention.
Which nobody knows what we're talking about. It's a car repair place, and they have.
If you haven't been there, yeah, really.
Car that looks like it's coming out of the wall, or no, it's going into the wall. I think.
Yep.
Yeah. So. Kind of interesting. Very cool. Yeah. So I got some of that. Yeah. And
And what kind of pipe tobacco is it? Is it a Cavendish, a vanilla?
You know what? I don't have it up here. I couldn't tell you because it was handwritten on the side because, you know, they have the big bins and she just got a pouch.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So
what it says is catnip.
So anyway.
She probably got him an ounce of pot. But it's a really good
good stuff, man.
it's a Colombian baby.
Yeah, and so yep, and then we had roast beast for dinner, and let's see what else. We just sat around and watched movies and stuff all day. Pretty much caught up on some that I had off the Magic Antenna, and it was nice. It was quiet.
Enjoyable, peaceful.
Yeah. And New Year's Eve was kind of the same way, you know. We got the tradition that Joel has, and we've picked up on it now, is go out and get Chinese food and have Chinese food, and yeah, we don't go out partying or anything anymore. We just sit in and
watch the ball drop on the TV.
We stopped to watch the ball drop, but they were one of the Turner Classic movies. We had the Thin Man series on back to back, a couple movies, so we watched those. Emery loves those.
Nice.
Yeah,
those are pretty good.
Yeah, they're for an old movie. They're fun. They're fun to watch. So, and that was it. That was our exciting holiday.
Wow. We did much the same in the sense that, New Year's, it was just me and my beautiful bride, got Chinese food. Granted, you got to get it from 100 miles away or Peterborough, whichever. And and then from there, basically watch movies until we get tired. And she turned in and I stayed up for a while and watched the ball. I did that after. we'll watch the ball drop and then play Call of Duty.
There you go.
That was New Year's, and Christmas was a lot more fun. Both the kids were home, so it's nice, you know, when they're able to come, you know, get up here and spend time and do Christmas, and so started off, you know, nice Christmas, you know, the presents, the tree, the whole nine yards. At that about noontime, cooked all day. So I did a 16-pound turkey, a 6-pound ham, Swedish meatballs, stuffing, mashed potatoes, baked potatoes, roasted potatoes, sweet potato brulee, green bean casserole, broccoli. The hell else was there? I think 2 different pies, 3 different types of ice cream. It was a lot for the 4 of us.
I don't know. Sounds pretty damn good. I wish I had been there.
Yeah, I mean, there's tons of leftovers, trust me. And the chickens are eating real good. But, you know, it was nice. We just enjoyed the time together. And then, the day after Christmas, obviously everybody's off and so on and so forth. So I decided to take the kids. They really wanted to go shooting.
Oh, cool.
So got a rifle range out back. So we went outside and... you know, and there's nothing that says Christmas like 1,500 rounds of semi-automatic.
There you go.
They had a blast, literally.
Love it.
And, you know, pictures, shot little videos, and they're like, oh, my God, this is so cool, and the whole nine yards. And man, that was about it, you know, simple and quiet.
Cool.
Minus the gunfire.
Kind of like Barry's backyard.
Yes. Well, it's, oddly enough, my neighbor, 2 houses down the road, also has a rifle and pistol range in his backyard. So I was outside. I don't know what the hell I was doing, but I already broke my first freaking shear pin. And I was out there and I hear pow, tink, pow, tink, pow. He's got the iron sights that the targets that flip down. So. Yeah, it's normal up here to hear, you know, people shooting in the backyard, target shoot.
Yeah. You know, it was a good Christmas for people when you live out in the country like we do, because even here on Christmas Day, Yeah, you wait until about 11 o'clock, maybe noontime, and all of a sudden you hear guns erupting all around you. And he said, yep. And as Anne-Marie says, well, somebody got a new gun for Christmas.
Yes, they did. Somebody got themselves an M16 for Christmas.
Yeah, and you know damn well the British are never going to have their way here again.
Yeah, it was. Our Christmas was, you know, do a little target shooting, lots of good food, good times. Oddly enough, Netflix has this one channel that is just a fire burning in a fireplace.
Oh, yeah. You know,
with the crackling wood. Well, it's one of those things where, you know, Debbie, she puts it on there. We do it, I think it's like a third or fourth year we've done it in a row. So, you know, you're taking pictures, I'm shooting videos. I'm like, oh, and Debbie set fire to the TV on the wall. And that was nice. It was super nice. It's just relaxing and enjoyable.
Hmm. Nice.
But I'll be honest with you, I'm glad it's over. No, just the whole Christmas shopping hustle, bustle, craziness. Yeah. You know, it's nice. The buildup, I think, is better than sometimes the actual day. And then when it passes, I'm like, okay, I'm good for another 11 months.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly. Actually, this afternoon we took down all the Christmas decorations, and they're already away, boxed up and down in the basement.
Oh, yeah, same here.
Yeah, well, we haven't done that yet. We enjoy all the Christmas fun. Our Christmas was also just the two of us just hanging together and just having a good time. Normally, we try to go out and visit the grandkids, but our health isn't quite the greatest right now, so we just didn't feel up to it. But it was nice to just be the two of us just kicking back and enjoying each other. It was we haven't really done that in a number of years. Of course, you know, we did deal with a couple of years where we had one of my wife's sisters was battling leukemia.
Oh, yeah.
And she passed away from that. But, you know, while that was going on, that was pretty much occupying everything that was going on with us. But this year, we just wanted to take it easy. You know, we didn't want to be running around anywhere and doing things. We just wanted to just be alone together. And we did that, and it was really nice. New Year's was pretty much the same thing, just the two of us just hanging out. Of course, I had to work New Year's Day because, New Year's Day was not a holiday for my company because it fell on the off Friday.
For most of us.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, I didn't want to. They kept talking about putting me on an alternate holiday schedule. And I was like, well, you know, I really want to have the same holidays that all my coworkers have because it makes me easier to remember when the damn holidays show up, you know, because I don't pay attention to this shit. But so, you know, they let it go and it's working out okay. The one variance I tried to get away with but didn't was trying to because the Christmas holiday was on my off Friday. Mm-hmm. I wanted to work the full week and take Christmas holiday on my off Friday and get an extra 8 hours. They looked at me sternly and said, no. Oh. So I took it on Thursday and ended up with a 4-day weekend. Hmm. But which actually worked out kind of nice because, my wife and I, we got a couple feet of snow a week before. And we had things to take care of. But by Christmas, the damn snow was friggin' gone. So, like, big ass deal, you know. And then we got another foot and a half of snow the past couple of days, you know, which I'm sure is nothing what Michael has had. But I gotta say, Michael, your 12 podcasts of Christmas were friggin' awesome. I love listening to them. I love listening to you out at Fanny Ho Creek, Fanny Ho Lake, and of course all your trips on Brockway. My God, how dare you do that? Yeah, man, that's like defying death trying to go up there and like fix things. But hey, more power to you, brother. I can't. I give you credit for that, and I tell you, you just blow me away. But yeah, you know, that was pretty much our holidays. Mostly, I was amazed at Michael and just enjoyed my wife.
Michael?
Well, I got to hang out in the harbor this Christmas because of things going on with the family. So that's good and bad. I mean, we love being in the harbor for Christmas. We would just rather be with our moms / their grandmas. But it was good to be here. I took part of all the local traditions, which is including the local Secret Santa gift giving that we do over the month of December. For the first time, Chris and the boys came with me to the Mariner for the Christmas Eve buffet that they put out for free for the entire town. And we all talked about what gifts we'd gotten within reason. If it's not family friendly, since it's a family gathering, they don't talk about those. But but anyhow, we all took guesses on who had what, and the atmosphere was doubly so because there was no power in town. The power initially went out about 5 in the morning on Christmas Eve. So except for those of us that had generators, the entire celebration at the Mariner was done by candlelight, which also is not unusual here, but it certainly added to the atmosphere.
The ambiance.
And after sitting through a couple of hours of that, which was fun, was enough for Mark, who had had outpatient surgery that week. So Chris and Mark and David went home, and I continued on with the carolers. And as it happened to be that night, it was myself and one other EMT that were available. So we abstained from any of the edible festivities. Or drinkable festivities, and just went Christmas caroling with the rest of the group because we were on call the rest of the night. But it was a great Christmas, Christmas Eve, I should say. Christmas Day was pretty quiet around town, and as you heard in the episodes, I wound up making a couple of trips up the mountain that I wasn't really thrilled about, especially that two of them. But
what mountain
stuff
was that?
Got done. Brockway Mountain. Oh.
Don't do it, Barry.
No,
Barry!
The first one of the year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. When we go, you know, when we go back up in like September, you're gonna have to like bring a gift for the mountain.
Either that or push Barry off the cliff.
Yeah, I've spent far more time up there than I wanted to this year.
God, you almost slid up the damn thing.
Well, yeah, that one trip was rather exciting. I literally slid a good 30 yards before I was able to stop myself.
I heard that podcast, I was like, oh, my God, Michael. But I knew you were okay because you were still talking about it after.
Yep. But, yeah, for the most part, I had a good time. I really enjoyed putting out the 12 episodes of Christmas. I toned down the last one. You know, it's not all wine and roses. But stuff got done.
I think one of the podcasts was him actually sliding down the mountain. You know, like the slippery Euchre.
Yeah. And I hear, oh shit.
Insert Wilhelm scream here.
Hi, this is Michael, the virtual. Oh shit.
God, please stop.
Crap moment I had was, you know, after sliding down, you know, towards the cliff for about 30 yards and climbing back up by grabbing onto whatever vegetation I could get. And I literally had a pull start, the gas generator laying flat on my stomach with my heels dug into the snow to get enough purchase, to get enough, you know, recoil on the generator to get it started. And I'm looking at this and I'm looking back at the tracked ATV and going, I hope to crap this thing can make it back up the hill. It's, you know, otherwise I'm walking back.
Yeah.
Because it's got a winch on it, but there's nothing to hook it up to. Not going up that hill.
Wow.
You know, I suppose I could have found something to drive into the ground and act as an anchor and start, you know.
But by the way,
inchworming it up the hill.
Michael, you can't fool me. You really can't with your podcast. I know you actually did a 17-hour podcast that shall not be named. And you just broke it up into 10-minute segments. That was good, though. I enjoyed them. you know, sometimes
I had a good time. I
enjoyed them too. They were it was such an incredible slice of Uper life
It was
simply amazing.
I like the music choices too, because it was music that Christmas music that you didn't.
I think my favorite was "I Am Santa Claus."
Of course, that was for Jason with an E, and he sent me a comment like 10 minutes after I released that episode, which was like in the middle of the night, Christmas night. So. Mm. Or was that Christmas Eve? I don't remember now. Yeah. They all kind of blend together. But Jason with an O, he set quite a standard to try to catch up to. So
yeah,
I was listening to him, for, doing yet another 12 days of Christmas. I thought, I got to do something. Good motivation. So, yeah, it was...
Sorry, overactive. We had snow up here.
What?
Ooh,
what?
Sorry, I had an overactive park bench porter.
No. But, so we've had about...
Your beer got away.
We've had about 4 feet of snow, which for us is pretty much flurries. We're about 6 to 8 feet behind normal for the year.
Yeah.
It's still, the trails are groomed. The snowmobilers are here. They're grumbling because they don't have their normal 6 to 8 foot base. But,
It looks like
there isn't a lot of snow to be had in the Midwest. So it's still.
Yeah. It looks like the jet stream has officially moved east again. So get ready. It's coming.
Well, I know it's coming. Yeah. As I said, I'm not complaining. I feel bad for my friends that are in the business up here because it's bad for them. But I'm not complaining about not having to do my driveway. I feel Joel's pain. Believe me.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually, you popped right into mine when I'm talking and getting on. Dude, we got to get this fucking truck done. This is nuts. Yeah. These are sprinkles.
Yeah.
And plowing is not an option for me. I've got to throw it.
Yeah.
See, we have the room to push it, but it's just, when you're pushing, 20 yards beyond where you normally have to, anticipating the next storm.
Right.
Yeah.
You got
to
give yourself.
I've got places to push it, but, once it starts getting 6-8 feet high.
Yeah.
I mean, the standing snow is 6 to 8 foot high, not where you push it. There's nowhere to push it anymore.
Yeah.
Need a loader.
Yeah.
A much bigger loader than I've got on my tractor.
No kidding. Yeah, I started to think about heavy equipment myself.
That's a good one.
All right. Well, Joel, sounds like you had some fun last night.
We were going to do it New Year's night, but I had a pounding headache at one point. So I'm like, nah, I don't feel like standing outside. And so last night, Dr. Kenny said, hey, that big giant pile? Well, there was a pile of, we're going to call it brush. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's what we'll call it, brush.
Brush,
we called the town, and they said, yes, as long as there's snow on the ground, you guys can burn.
Yeah, Jeffrey actually even tweeted that.
Yep. So we're like, okay, cool. Well, we got 6 inches, we got half foot of snow, so we can definitely burn it. It's in an open area. It's far away from the trees. So the brush was, didn't take long to go up and to the point where we had 40 foot flames. Well, the brush pile was, 18 feet in diameter.
Mm-hmm.
And when it was all piled up on itself, it was probably about 10 feet, 12 feet tall.
Nice.
And from cleaning out the property. So he says to me, hey, it's all snowy all over the brush. So what do you think we need to get it going? And I said, I don't know. So he came down with a bottle of power service, which is what you use to squirt in diesel fuel tanks at trucks to keep it from gelling up. And I looked at it and said, nowhere on this bottle does this say that this liquid is flammable. Nowhere. So I don't think it's going to work.
Yeah.
And squirt a little on the brush. And boy, does that stuff burn good. And within 25 minutes, we had flames 35 feet in the air.
Wow. Cool.
And it got real warm.
Yeah. I say, there's probably no snow in that area. Anymore.
No. But it was fun, you sit back and we brought the Jeep down, did a few donuts around it, you know, it's like dancing around the fire except in the Jeep. Well, I mean, you know, it can make it through the rest of the brush because, you know, it's got an 8-inch lift kit on it and 35-inch tires, so it'll go.
And now performing the Nutcracker in his Jeep.
Pirouetting around an 18-foot fire that's going pretty air. We're doing donuts in the Jeep, you know, for, you know, just making sure there's a nice clear area so the fire couldn't spread, you know, in the snow. And then we sat back and had ourselves a nice warming couple of beverages, and I just hung out. It was great, man. It was sitting there, I shot many video, took many photos, and then you get to a certain point, you're like, we got any more shit we can throw on this thing that'll burn? Because in no time at all, it was burnt down from an 18-foot diameter, 14-foot tall pile to embers.
Man, a bunch of shit you don't have to worry about getting rid of.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Just turn to ash. So that was pretty cool. We had a good time doing that, just hanging out and, you know, shooting the shit. But that was yesterday. What else do I went down and saw the tracks when we were doing the donuts. Probably shouldn't have driven in a few places we went, but well, it's like, you know, the Jeep should have rolled over there, but we're like, it'll be fine. So it's Mike, a whole new respect for Jeeps again. Boy, that sucker will go anywhere in four-wheel drive. But that was our
That's what they're advertised for, you know.
Yep.
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, the worst thing I was really worried about is popping a tire. Because some of the places we were going, they were old logging roads.
Oh, yeah.
Because they used to log part of this back mountain, so they made logging roads off the back of the property to timber out. Yep. And those ain't exactly smooth.
No, we have a few of those around here. They're nice to hike, but taking a vehicle down them is, unless you're a big logging truck.
Yeah,
with lots of clearance.
Well, the Jeep's probably got almost two worth of clearance from the bottom of the pumpkin.
Yeah.
No, that's not true. About a foot and a half.
A Jeep could probably do it.
It did. Yeah. It did great. And this morning you wake up and blah, 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 and you hang out and you say, wow, we really could have fucked up the Jeep. I'm through that. We're welding things back on it. But
it's okay. Yeah. We can rebuild it. We'll make it better than it was before.
We'll make it better.
Exactly. All is well that ends well.
Yeah.
I forgot just how wonderful those vehicles are for driving around 18-foot bonfires. And I almost spilt my Jack and Coke. I mean, what? Slow down. I almost spilt my drink. Hey, we're on private property, you know. Yeah. It's okay. So anyway, that was last night.
You're driving around like the trailer park boys with the
absolutely small
glass of and Jack in your hand.
I brought my sippy cup filled with the good stuff.
Oh.
And so, you know, he's sitting there just keeping warm by the fire, and he has a Poland spring water bottle, you know, like, you know, the 20-ouncers, except he filled it up with Fireball bourbon cinnamon whiskey, drinking it straight. So, yeah, we had a good time. And, cool. Yeah, you know, just having a good old time back here in the woods. Cabin in the woods, big bonfire, four-wheeling in the backyard.
Yeah, cool. Oh. Barty.
Yes.
Lots of lake effect snow hitting you.
Try and follow that up.
Yeah, really. Not as much as we're used to this time of year, and definitely not as much, though, as Michael's getting. But we did get a couple of feet about a week ago that melted right before Christmas. Like, you know, why couldn't it just stay around one extra day? Oh, no. It had to just melt. On Christmas Eve, so there was nothing left for Santa to land on Christmas.
Grinchy.
Well, I gotta say, our Christmas was green. It didn't get cold until afterwards, but it was green, and it was close to 60 degrees that day. And I looked out, and I said to Amory, I said, don't miss it. Don't miss it at all.
You old fart. I was right there with you, Barty, in the sense that it was 60 degrees nearly here, and I actually shut the pellet stove off. You know, usually it's snowing outside.
Yeah.
Christmas morning, see the snowflakes come down. You look at the stove and the fire warming the house, and you Christmas carols in the background. I'm like, I got to shut the stove off. It's hotter than hell in here.
We actually had the sliding glass door open because it was so warm.
Yep.
Yeah. It wasn't quite that warm here, but it was unseasonably warm, to be honest about it. But the past few days, we've gotten less snow than what they were predicting, but we got about, I think we got like around 18 to 20 inches of snow. Wednesday, they started telling us that all these doom and gloom stories that the Tug Hill here were going to get like 2 or 3 feet at least. So I had to work on New Year's Day. So I sent an email to my three bosses saying, hey, do you mind if I work from home since I'm going to be the only one working because of this weather that's coming? It's not going to be affecting them. It's going to be affecting me.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You know, getting in and out of here was going to suck. And all three of them, the only time in my life I've ever hit a trifecta, said, yeah, stay your ass home and log in and you know, do all your work from there. So that worked out kind of nice. So
good.
You know what's funny, though, is I got more freaking work done here.
Oh, yeah.
Than I did if I'd been in the office.
Yeah. No kidding. You do.
And it was like, you know, I was kind of blown away by how much stuff I got done. And I was like, holy crap. If I'd been in the office, there'd have been people bugging me and things. Well, probably not on New Year's Day. But I noticed on we got that Outlook for Business bullshit. And there were like 3 or 4 people that were actually working the same day I was. And I was like, yeah, I can just imagine 2 of those guys would have been bugging me for things. You know, and it would have taken me away from what I was really trying to get done, you know?
Yeah.
So, hey, but, you know, I successfully managed to take my Unix server back down to nil and break up a couple of new Solaris zones and start. I established those and got them ready to be installed with new versions of the software I want to put on them. And I couldn't have done that, you know, if I had to deal with people all the time.
Yeah.
So, I was pretty pleased with myself, and it was to the point that I almost wanted to keep playing with it on Sunday just because I was getting so much done. But I was like, Saturday rather. Yeah. I was like, no, let's just relax, will you? So
yeah.
So I did that, but I was so tempted because I was like in such a roll. You know, I got so much stuff done. I just wanted to keep going, and I was like, no, this will wait till Monday. Trust me, this will wait till Monday because no one's expecting it. So, yeah, that was my New Year's.
Yeah. Did you stay up and watch the ball, or did you go to bed?
Oh,
early?
Fuck no. Fuck no. I'm too old for that bullshit. And, you know, the thing is, they keep calling it Dick Clark's Rockin' Eve, and the dude's dead, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he died like 2 years before he stopped doing the show. Yeah. They kept propping up his corpse up there. And it was like, you know, and they got this Brian Seacrest guy doing this shit. And it's like, man, I don't want to listen to that gay guy talk about this junk. You know? Although while I was waiting for the extended period that it took us to wait for the show to start, I did find out that Jimmy Buffett had been presented on that New Year's Eve show somewhere in there. He was doing a concert in Brooklyn, and they piped in his portion of doing Margaritaville. Uh-huh. And I watched that like 2 or 3 times thinking, yeah, this is pretty freaking cool. And I told Tony, I wish we'd known about that. We could have recorded that little piece of it and just ignored the rest of it.
Yeah, we didn't watch that. Like I said, we switched over at the last minute. I think we tuned into one of the news channels because they all seem to have shows now. I think we popped on the Fox and watched the ball come down and flipped it off after that and went back to the movies.
Yeah. I'm with Joe. Yeah, my wife and I, we don't really give a rat's ass about that ball crap, you know.
Yeah, I've been doing it forever, so I like to see it come down. But, you know, the whole Times Square thing's one giant commercial anyway, so.
Yeah, exactly. That's pretty much why we got bored with it and figured, screw this shit. You know, you go like to 3 hours of crap for like 2 minutes of content, and it's like, really? Really?
Yeah.
So
give me Guy Lombardo any day.
Well, I don't know if I go that far.
I don't know. I kind of like the 40s music.
Well, I like the 40s. I like Benny Goodman and, you know, those guys. And, Jimmy Dorsey and his brother. But I can't deal with Guy Lombardo.
Well, it sounds like, it's a. I stayed up a little bit later because, you know, I'm a late night person anyway. So Emery went to bed right after that, and I stayed up and watched a couple of. Did I watch a movie after that, or did I just was flipping around? I think I was just flipping around that night.
You're probably just too drunk to remember.
No, I wasn't. We had a we had a glass of champagne. That was the pretty much the only alcohol I had that night. I didn't want to fall asleep before the event.
Yeah,
snored in the new year.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, well, I was on call this weekend, so you know I couldn't get too wasted.
Yeah. So, Michael.
Yes. So, yeah. And by the way, New Year's Eve, I wasn't drinking again either. Again, another shortage of EMS and paramedics. Still had a good time though. There's not a prerequisite. Although I did stay up long enough for Mark to see the fireworks. We went across the street to the Mariner afterwards and had hot chocolate with whipped cream on it. Perused the buffet a little bit. Brought him home. I came back and I stood out with the rest of the firemen as we cleaned up the fireworks launch sites and, you know, burned up the expended explosives. And then I went back and went to bed because I've been basically, you know, everybody else is on Christmas vacation around me except me. I'm still working. So I'm keeping more or less normal hours. But as I was working today here in the garage cleaning my office, I'd say about 5:30, just about to go back to the house and cook dinner. And I thought I heard a car pull up front. And then I hear this knocking at the inside door to my office. I open it up and this lady's standing there with his ID badge on. She goes, U.S. Census, can I ask you some questions? And I'm like, sure. And she goes, yeah, is this the house? I'm like, no, this is the garage. She goes, that's what I thought. She goes, I was about to go down the driveway. I'm like, oh, my gosh, don't do that. Don't do that in a car. You don't want to go down the road to Saskatchewan. But I start talking to her.
You should have told her. I'm Canadian, eh?
Yeah. No, we were talking, and I'm answering the questions, and she goes, yeah, I remember coming here just shortly after you moved into the house. And I said, I thought you looked familiar. I said, you're the lady that came walking through the woods with a clipboard asking me if this was the cabin by the lake with brown siding. And I said, well, this is a cabin by the lake with brown siding, because it was before they actually had the fire address numbers out here.
Yeah.
So before that, it was, you know, something happened. Everybody got on the radio and said, there's a fire at Joe's place. And we all went to Joe's place. Didn't go through the state police or anything else. We just all went. Now they actually have to call 911, and 911 is down, you know, in Negaunee, Michigan, and state police headquarters down there gets on the radio and pages out everybody, and which works well too. And I got a lot of respect for those guys, but it's a big difference from when we first moved here.
Yeah,
but this is the same census lady, so
they answer the copper where?
Yeah. So she walks into my office, which is still only half clean, but. Asking questions like, do you have a computer? And I look around.
No.
And she goes, forgive me, I got to ask these questions. And I said, yeah, you see four MacBooks sitting on different desks here, right? She goes, do you own a smartphone? And I said, how many? So it was basically down that list. I didn't fit the profile up here. Let's put it that way.
I have
but to. Very nice lady. I talked to her.
I gotta wonder.
She and her husband actually.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish.
So anyhow, she and her husband actually live down near Red Jacket, Calumet, and their kids go to Michigan Tech.
I just gotta wonder why the census needs to know that information.
You know, I don't mind. It was a rather lengthy survey, but you know, if it does anything to improve things for people, I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, I don't.
I got nothing to hide. Well, don't look behind the boards, but
yeah, but still, for just informational purposes, what's
no,
the harm?
I'm not giving away any of my information. You want it? You have to break, you know, get a warrant.
I am the same way, especially.
You don't need to know how many. If you want to know that bad, they can find out.
Yeah,
but I'm not just going to volunteer to a group.
Right.
Sorry, I won't.
Especially since you know the federal government graciously kept all my SF-86 information so well protected.
I know it's safely in the hands of the Chinese.
I got my notification where I get 3 free years of credit check and watch.
Uh-huh.
Because Anne-Marie got hers, and then a week later I got mine about it, and I said, yeah. So the next 5-year update, I'm just going to put on the SF-86. Why don't you ask the Chinese? They know everything.
They didn't know where I live.
Yeah. It's, yeah, that's just freaking amazing.
So, I don't have a problem with it. I believe you should have the right to disclose it or not disclose it.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I agree.
I want to make sure that we have proper voting representation and everything else up here. So
I don't mind.
If I felt it was a violation of my privacy, I'd say something.
I just wonder about the extra questions, what they're used for and stuff like that. Because it's like, you know, the census start off with how many people in your family, who lives here, you know. It's like, how many computers do you have?
How many children under the age of 18? And that was enough.
Yeah.
Mom, yeah. Dad, how many kids under the age of 18?
Did they ask you if you owned any firearms?
No.
Oh, okay. No, that's amazing. The doctors do.
She probably assumed that I did, being the Keweenaw.
Yeah.
And I'm not against them at all. I mean, we talk about that in one of the episodes, too, from 12 episodes of Christmas, but I just...
Yeah,
choosing that myself.
Yeah, that's fine.
On the other hand, my youngest son is fully qualified in hunter safety. Yeah. When he wants to get a shotgun, I will buy one for him.
Yeah,
because he's proved to me he's responsible and he knows what he's doing.
Right.
Yep.
But I just they seem to get a little more nosy and nosier and nosier every time there's a new. Well, again, usually we for some reason miss the guy coming to the house usually. We don't answer the door, and we usually get the form in the mail, and we fill that out basically, but just the basic information that they need.
That's why it's nice living out in the country with a pond in the backyard. You know, anybody that pisses you off, you shoot them, put them at the bottom of the pond, and nobody ever sees them again.
Yeah, okay.
So this is at X mark. Timestamp, you can edit that out.
Hey, I'm not going to be the one that's going to be, having the census person come up to their house with a SWAT team with them.
Well, they'll only get as far as the property line when you turn around saying, "Don't bother, go away."
That's right. They're going to have Thor barking at them at the end of his leash. They're going to have me holding my Mossberg 930 saying, "What the hell do you want?" And they'll probably be like, "Nothing."
Now, this census person was actually looking around the office here and the equipment and what I had running. And she said, "Do you think you could get better internet to my office?" So she's actually going to contact me about, give me the particulars and where the office is and see if I can get them a better internet signal than what they've got.
Do you think the tip off was the fact that you had Whopper from War Games sitting in the corner going, woof, 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 woof.
"Would you like to play a game?" And another computer back there going, "End of line."
End of line. And it says, "Michael, it's almost time for our coffee break." Thank you, Hal.
Yeah, really.
All right. Well, that'll lead us into Geek's Corner.
Mowing my front lawn. I know they're all thinking I'm so wide. Joe's too white and nerdy. Can't you see I'm white and nerdy? Look at me, I'm white and nerdy.
All right, and one of my Christmas presents, which I brought down to Geek Corner, was a Raspberry Pi 2B.
Not to be.
To be or not to be. To be what?
It's a Shakespeare edition.
It's a cute little computer that's about the size of a deck of cards in its housing. It's a one board computer. And it runs Linux, a version of Linux.
But you hate Linux.
I love Linux.
Oh no, we had a discussion on this
system, Mac OS.
Linux.
I said Linux is my second favorite OS.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. Mac.
No, you didn't.
Mac OS 10, which may. If it keeps up the way it's keeping
BSD
up,
Unix.
If BSD, yeah, which is different than regular Linux.
Well, yeah, you know, it's the West Coast highlighted stuff.
It works.
You know? Not the AT&T business version.
No, Linux is my. I've always said Linux is my second favorite OS. And okay. This little thing is quite powerful. It runs on the memory for it is a micro SD chip. It came with I got a kit. So I got the board, and then I got the container for it, and it came with an 8 gig micro SD card, which it came pre-installed with the operating system on it. And, and it came with a USB Wi-Fi plug-in and an HDMI cord. So that was the entire kit. For grand total cost for that was $69.
Whoa!
And
that's awesome.
And it's got a quad-core chip on it and a gig of RAM on the machine. So it's an experimental box, and you know, you use it for building different things. But it's cute. It's cool. I set it up. I had the Wi-Fi going, connected up, and then I would just SSH into it or VNC into it from my MacBook Pro and play around with it. So now I got to do some experimenting with it and try some different things. Some of the things you can set up for is you can have it be a a lot of people do is have it be a whatchamacallit, like a little Apple TV or a Roku box. You can run XMBC on it, and you can plug it. It comes with four USB ports. It comes with an HDMI port. It comes with an audio. Well, it's audio and video out, like standard analog, I guess, audio and out. And let's see, what else does it have? Oh, and it's got a network connection if you want to connect in a wire connection into the network. And so it's pretty cool. It's a neat little box. It boots up right away. I ordered a couple more micro SD cards for it so I can maybe do a couple different projects. And, of course, if you want it to work one way, you can pop one SD out and pop another one in. But so far, some of the things I'm interested in looking at is I really don't need a media server per se, but I might set one up just to see how it works. You can set it up as a mini little NAS server with a plug-in. If you have plug-in hard drives, you can plug them into it and then stream it. Let's see, what else can you do? Oh, they had... Michael's got the good stuff, but they've got software out there for it to turn it into like a mesh network using a series of these things. And one thing I was successful in doing is I set it up to work with my little dongle the TV dongle that you plug in, and amateur radio people use it to tune in software-defined radio. You can actually run GNU radio on it.
Wow, that's neat.
Yeah, so, it's for a little box. It's about the size of a deck of cards in the box, and It is. It's pretty cool. It's a neat thing to play around with.
So you said it had a quad core processor.
Yeah.
What processor is it? Is it like an i5?
It's I don't remember off the top of my head, but it's equivalent to what do they call it? Not the alphas. What did they call them? The ones that came in the notebooks. You know, remember the netbooks?
Oh, the Celerons.
An ARM chip of some sort.
Yeah,
it's probably an ARM chip.
Atom. It's like, but it's not an Atom. It's not an Atom chip, but it's kind of equivalent to an Atom chip. So, but it's pretty cool. It's neat for, you know, doing little experiments and playing around, and you know, if you get something working and you like it, well, hell, for $39 you can go out and get another Pi, and then buy a case for it. You know, I got the $69 kit, which, you know, has kind of a little bit of everything, so you can experiment. But once you get something worked out, you know, $39, you can go out and purchase a bunch of them.
I think it sounds pretty cool. I like that it runs Linux, because Linux will scream on something like that,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it works. It's good. The SD drive, you can actually run it off of a USB dongle if you want to a USB drive. I'm still playing with the micro SD. The thing that they say with the micro SD cards is, they have limited write capabilities. Although that's still,
I don't know.
Changing the controller software on them. Yeah. You have to add something called wear.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Wear limiting software in there. Otherwise they will burn out sectors.
Because I was going to say that, some of the 4K, GoPro cameras I have will write really fast to a damn 64 gig SD card. Mm-hmm. You know, so, and you know, to record 4K video, you really need, you know, a very fast chip. So,
and
the recording speeds on an SD card really are pretty good.
And that's what I got. You know, they came with an 8 gig one, which, you know, I'm not even sure how full I've got it right now. But I ordered a couple of 64 gig cards. Actually, one for it, and I was thinking one for the MacBook Pro, because I've got a slot on the side here that I can plug that in, because that was another thing. That's another Geek Corner thing here. I literally ran out of disk space on the MacBook Pro.
Hey, let's face it, any slot has to be filled with something.
Yes. So, I had to do some major house cleaning. I did that on New Year's Day. Happy New Year. This is what I did on New Year's Day. I cleaned my hard drive.
Woo!
Put some stuff off on a external drive. Got rid of all my pictures and stuff. Pushed that off on the side. I had to clean that out. The other thing that's a big hog is if you do backups for your iPhones and iPads and stuff. Yeah, that can take up... I think I was taking up like 70 some gig of space just on backups. So
yeah. Oh, all of those backups I do are all on external drives.
Yeah, I'm gonna look into doing that too. So so I gotta come up with different ways to keep the drive clean. I recovered about 150 gig out of the 500 gig hard drive. So I'm down, but I want to go down further on the hard drive. I've just got to figure out what to keep, what not. Maybe go through my apps and see ones I'm not using anymore, get rid of them, although they don't take much space up. But music, pictures are the big ones.
Exactly.
I've been having fun playing with the Raspberry Pi. They've been out for quite some time. But the Raspberry Pi 2B, which is the latest one, and they kept it basically at the same price. It was actually one that has some meat behind it now. So, yeah, for a fruit, it has some meat behind it.
Woohoo! I like the way you say that.
And my other Geek Center is, after listening and recording stuff with the Logic Pro, I was getting an awful lot of crackling and popping and stuff, and let's just say the interface, even though it was okay, I didn't like the user interface that much. Not as much as I like Audition. And so I was reading up on Audition. Actually, I was taking some lynda.com courses on Audition. And, of course, they were all based on the latest and greatest Audition, which I don't have. I was running the old CS 5.5, I think, which still runs on my MacBook Pro. But what I found, digging into some of the information on Adobe, is that a couple of years ago, Apple pretty much redid their entire audio core. I think Michael probably knows about that. Yeah. And when they did it, it is backwards compatible. It does run, but it doesn't have all the bells and whistles that the latest and greatest Audition has, because they, you know, they reworked Audition to work with the latest core, audio core. And so I'm on the month free trial of the latest and greatest Audition core or Audition software right now. And so far I like it, and I'm having a feeling I'm going to bite the bullet and start renting the software, because you know, it works. It works with this computer, and they keep up to date with the new versions of the operating system that come out. So,
well, didn't you buy Logic Pro?
I didn't buy it. I was testing it.
Oh, okay. For a while. Well, that's good. That's good.
I like to test things before I lay out the money.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Know?
For the prices that these these companies charge.
So I was testing it, and I almost went that way. I was getting ready to press the button, and I said, I don't know, man. It's not as comfortable as Audition is. And the thing I don't like about Audition is I'm renting it, you know. And but you do get all the updates. Whereas, you know, before, when you actually purchased Audition, if you wanted to keep up with the updates, usually every year they came out with a new version and they would charge you money for the new version.
Well, with most Adobe software, you got updates during the year.
Yeah.
And then when
minor updates.
After 2 or 3 years, they come out with a new version and you'd have to buy the new package. Yeah.
But what I found is the version I had of Adobe didn't work well with the audio core that is in the current OS X. So I'm running this, and I can split the channels and everything else. However, as you understand, because we got started real late, it was crackling and popping when I was trying to set it up. Right now, I haven't heard a single crack or pop, so when we're done this podcast, I got to quickly run around and write down all the settings I have.
Because
it's working. And I think I had it set up like this last week when I was experimenting with it. I feel more at home on Audition. I know the thing forward and backwards. It gives you a lot more ways to edit, gracefully edit software. You can actually go in. They have a frequency display that you can go in, and you can just go in and rub out noises in the background. You can either take them down or take them totally out based on their frequency. And, you know, that's what I was learning going over the lynda.com courses for Audition. So, And I still highly recommend, and they're not a sponsor. We don't have sponsors or anything, but man, I am so glad I got the lynda.com stuff, because, you know, I just go in there and I'm better with audio visual instruction than I am with reading. So I just sit there and it's interesting stuff. And I sit there and just keep, you know, taking the courses and learning so much more. Anyway, so that was that's my Geek Corner information here. We're back on Audition. The show's being recorded on the latest and greatest Audition, CC 2015. And I will probably be plunking down the yearly fee here soon on it. So, and we'll go down to, let's see, Michael. Michael.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm here. I'm here. So, no, the only geeky thing I got to talk about, and we've been on a search mission toy boat, for the last day, yeah, is my photographer friend here in town, Steve Brim, one of the photographers in town. But he's the one that's been doing the aerial drone footage last year.
Yeah, they were
really awesome stuff.
Yeah.
Well, he went to take some video of the lighthouse on New Year's Day. And was that New Year's Day? What is today? Today's Saturday. Yeah. Oh, New Year's Eve Day. He was taking video. And but he flies it looking through the video camera in the drone. Mm-hmm. So he's not actually looking at the drone so that, you know, he can keep his orientation right. And he was taking video of the lighthouse. So he was standing over near the fort on the lakeshore, looking through the camera at the lighthouse, and then he turned around and it was coming back towards him, and he lost video before he got to shore.
Ooh.
So either he lost the video link and it took off and went walkabout, or it splashed. I'm kind of thinking it probably splashed,
yeah,
although he didn't see it do it. He didn't see it do it in the video camera.
Because those things, don't they, if they lose control contact, does he have the kind of,
yes,
that should come back to home? You can
He's got one that has GPS and it will fly back to where it took off from. Yeah. We're talking a $3,000 drone.
Yeah.
This hurts. Is a big one.
Ouch.
There's actually a possibility he might be able to turn this in for insurance because it's his livelihood. It's not just a hobby type thing. But we've had whole crews going up and down the lake shore and walking through the woods. And Chris and I walk, you know, through the woods almost every night anyhow. So we're taking little different paths. And but it could be up in the trees. If it did make it to shore, it could be up in the trees. It could be who knows where. And it's about, you know, it's about the diameter of a basketball, fairly flat, and it's white, mm-hmm, which is not really good this time of year.
Yeah.
But, I didn't really
think about that. Yeah.
You know, 60, 80 foot pine trees full of snow and white snow.
You'll find it in the springtime.
Maybe.
Yeah, the only thing, if it splashed, the only thing that'll survive, he's got a really high-end GoPro camera, but it was in a watertight case.
But
yeah,
so
but
we might be able to
if he was out doing the lighthouse, it could be anywhere in Lake Superior right now.
Well, he did know it was on its way back.
Okay,
just from, but yeah, it could be anywhere in Lake Superior in the harbor.
Having two GoPro cameras with weatherproof cases, I can testify to the fact that they will survive being buried in deep snow. Because I had one that cracked off the top of my John Deere tractor last winter. And I don't really know exactly how it ended up, but it flew into the middle of a snowbank. I didn't find it till the next spring, and it was fine. And it recorded video until the battery died.
That's funny.
Yeah, and I still have that damn camera. It's that particular one was a 3 Plus, and I'm still using it today. I went and bought a 4 after that because I didn't know where the hell the camera went, and I replaced it with a 4. That was the current GoPro at the time. Mm. And when the snow melted, I found the old one. It was just like sitting there in the snowbank, like, huh, here I am. And I picked it up and looked at it and, you know, cleaned the case off. I brought it into the house and charged it up. And sure enough, it had recorded everything that had happened to it right up until the time it went into the snowbank. And you could see the variance of light as it was in the snow, as it got darker and darker. And it went like that for like a long time until it just, the battery died, and that was it. But it was funny because you could see the light. You could see, like, you know how like snow has kind of a bluish glow sometimes in the right light. You could see that, and you could see it getting darker and then lighter the next day and then darker. And then, you know, after a couple of days, it just kind of went out, and it was like, wow, I was blown away that the battery would last that long.
That's amazing.
But those Yeah, those cases are pretty freaking rugged.
I'm surprised you didn't run out of memory for the recording.
I've got, in that particular one, I think it had a 64 gig SD card in it. Because that's what I tend to put in most of my GoPros, are like 64 gig cards.
Yeah.
And, you know, that'll record for a long time.
Wow.
Yeah, and that wasn't recording. The 3 Plus will go at a higher resolution, but I was recording that one because I was trying to record myself blowing snow off the from the John Deere tractor.
I kind of figured that, basically, when you said it was attached to your John Deere and there was snow on the ground.
The mount is still there, but somehow the camera got smashed off of it, and the mount I have to replace because it's broken.
Yeah.
But I haven't done that yet because I felt so bad that I lost that camera. But and I don't even know exactly how it happened, you know, because I don't even know when it happened. Hmm. It was just when I was done snow blowing, it was gone.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know where it went or when or anything. But yeah,
that's funny.
I can testify that those cases are damn rugged.
That's good.
You know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's go down into the next department. And that would be Ingress Alert.
Acquiring position. Downloading latest Intel package.
Okay, that's
we got to warn Bob.
Well, he'll figure it out.
Well,
Barty's got the only story anyway.
Yeah, this is really short. I just happily made level 6, and as soon as I did, I texted all three of you, and my wife is like, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm texting my three buds that I podcast with that I made level 6." And yes, she said, "What are you saying? I made level 6. Are they going to know what you're talking about?" Oh, I said,
yeah.
Oh yeah. They'll know exactly what I'm talking about. And all three of you responded within seconds. And I says, "Tony, you think you know what I was talking about?" And she just kind of laughed. But yeah. I have to tell you, I only made level 6 because it was my sweet bride's determination. Because I was like about, I guess I was like 12,000 to 18,000 points away. And we were hitting like minor portals and things. And she says, "Well, what do you got to do to get those kind of points?" And I said, "Well, I got to take the time to take out portals and take them over and make new links and things like that." And she says, "Well, why aren't you doing that?" And I says, "Well, you know, I don't want to bother you because you were just kind of like hacking them as we drive by."
Yeah.
And she says, "Well, come on, let's get this done." I said, "She told me we're not leaving Watertown until you make the next level."
Wow, that's great.
So, well, you know, to her, this is like a, you know, one of those turkey hunts, you know, where you go off trying to look for things.
Yeah, you're saying she likes to hunt.
Yeah, you know, so she's like, you know, she's on the trail, you know, and like, she's like, "Where do we need to go next? Where do we need to go next? What can you do here?" And I checked this portal as a little too strong. I checked another portal. "Oh, I can get this one." So I beat it down and took it out and says, "Well, I don't want to take this one over yet. Let me see what else I can get and what kind of supplies I can collect." So, you know, we were doing this for like 2 hours, driving all up and down Watertown. You know, just pounding frog things all left and right, taking them all out. And then we went back around a second time, taking them over and making links and things like that and creating fields. And then I made level 6. And she says, "Well, it's about damn time."
Wow.
Yeah, she just wanted to get going shopping, but she wanted to make sure that I made level 6 when I was like that close. So I said, "Okay, fine." I tell you, it's nice to have a wife that supports your interests. Yeah,
really. I haven't been playing that much. I mean, this past week, I was barely out about playing. This is the time of year I tend to hibernate from the game a bit because, you know, when there's snow on the ground, it's hard. You know, I'm one of these guys that pulls over and, you know, because of the new rules, especially now, I pull over to do any attacking and stuff like that. I'm off the road with my turn signal, you know, on to make sure people realize I'm off the road and stuff like that. Cause, yeah, I don't do the drive-by stuff, too often. Well, I'll drive by hack, but I can do that without even looking down at the phone. So, but I just haven't been that busy, even though one of my Santa Claus gifts was a pair of gloves that work with touchpads.
That's funny.
So I don't have to freeze my hands off anymore, especially if I decide to do a walkabout in Peterborough. Yeah. but yeah, I'm looking at where I am, and I still got to get 2 gold badges for 12, and I'm looking at my silvers, and it's like, yeah, I'm eons away from getting any of those turned to gold. So, oh well, I just have fun playing the game, you know. But I think that'll do it for. Unless Michael, you got anything for Ingress?
No, somebody had the audacity to take some portals out in town yesterday, and they just cleaned that up real quick, turn everything back blue again.
Oh, good. Yeah, we have a local frog that's been doing that to Jaffrey a lot, and this week I just let it slide. The other 2 guys that live in Jaffrey, I guess they were busy this week. So we get it when we get it, you know. So, Joel, you probably been pretty with your commute and everything in the snow. You probably haven't been
not really playing. I mean, it's exactly with the snow.
Yeah.
I just kind of slow and easy and take 2 hours and 45 minutes to get to work.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's hard.
I didn't get as much done as I'd like to have gotten done once I got there because I was just kind of fried.
Yeah.
But yeah, as far as playing Ingress goes now, that was not on the schedule.
Yeah, the long commute will do that to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, where you live, that kind of makes it worth it.
Yeah,
exactly. It really, really doesn't until I get an offer for some place a hell of a lot closer. And then from there, well, it's time to make a decision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's go into the next group then, which is Bottom Gear.
Hello and welcome to another late night QRM edition of Bottom Gear. I'm one of your hosts, Joel, and today we have a few stories to tell you because it's been a while. And leading us out is Barry. Take it away.
Only because I made the show notes up and I get my stuff in first. Yeah, I just wanted to give a report on the, of course, you know, as I mentioned earlier, I did the first snow blowing of the season and rock blowing. Rock blowing of the season, and of course I did it in the comfort of my Jack Daniels.
There you go. Yeah.
The only way to clear snow.
Yeah.
My John Deere soft cab.
And how many feet did you have?
We had 3 inches, Marty.
Oh!
But
well, I remember. Said it was 2.
No, I said 3 inches. but I've got to say that it was so nice to get in there and not care which way I blew the snow, because if there was blowback, it didn't hit me. There was no wind. It was just pleasant sitting in the cab going up and down. And
just Jack Daniels in one hand and earbuds in his ears.
Yeah. and matter of fact, I didn't even have gloves on. I didn't put gloves on until probably the last 10 minutes of snow blowing. Because it was fairly warm in there. So
you just show it off.
Yeah, so I'm thinking this was a good purchase.
Yeah, I've been thinking about the same thing because it does sound very appealing to me because I have a very similar tractor to what you have. Mm-hmm. Although I have to say that, you know, 2-3 inches of snow, how much blowback can there really be?
Oh,
you know, most of the time when I snow blow, there's like a foot or more.
Well, yeah. You know? But you know what? 3 inches of snow, it collects in the blower and it blows out with almost the same amount as if you're pushing a foot of snow. And except,
when was the last time you snowblowed a foot?
Except it blows it clear across. Well, you know, I have a U-shaped driveway, so I was concerned when I was going down one side that I was blowing it into the other part of the driveway, that's like 100 yards away. So
that's a hell of a rooster tail.
Well, there wasn't much snow, but it was a wet, crusty snow, like I said. Mm.
Well, you know, you can adjust how far it throws it.
Yeah, right? you can adjust the top so it doesn't go that far. Yeah. But I'd like to throw it as far as I can. It's fun.
Even into the other side of your driveway?
Yeah. Well,
and then the neighbor's driveway. Exactly.
Well, the neighbor's driveway, who gives a shit? That's his problem.
Yeah. But I got to say, I really enjoyed the first outing with it. And I'll have more tales later on when we get actual... deeper snow, and I got to be out there.
To be honest, I enjoy picking on you just because it's fucking fun. But I really am thinking pretty seriously about doing the same damn thing, you know. Yeah. But even still, I'm still going to pick on you just because it's fucking fun.
Yeah. And they actually do make a heater for our mowers because
yes, they do. Is eat one can of Bush's baked beans before going out.
Yeah, Joel's right. That's all you need. Bush's baked beans and a handful of JD, and you're good to go for a good 2-3 hours.
They actually
just don't light a cigar when you're inside the cab. It could end up poor.
Flaming John Deere going down the road.
You're looking out the window, and all of a sudden you look at the cab of the tractor, and it goes.
You guys are killing me, man. You're killing me. That would be too freaking fun.
But I gotta tell you, Barty, they do actually make a heater for our JDs like ours. That it's a little slide unit, and you actually
it's just like what Joel said.
Yeah, you actually put it into your radiator, connect it into the cooling system, and it's a little heater core. So. That's beginning to look interesting because, I was looking at electric heaters and they all want too much wattage.
Yeah, I think Joe's idea is a lot cheaper.
Do you have a power port on your tractor?
I do.
Yes, we do.
I'll stop by tomorrow and drop off that electric heater I got. It doesn't draw hardly any wattage, and I'm telling you, it will heat up that cab.
It wouldn't take much, I'll tell you, because just from my body heat, it was keeping me warm.
Heater, and I used to use it on throw it on the dashboard of my diesel F-350.
I'd just be worried about popping fuses. That's
it has a fuse built into it. So if it draws, it'll pop its own fuse, not one on the tractor.
Okay,
well, hot damn, that sounds rather nice.
$35,
huh?
Pat boys,
really?
So Barry, you try it out and let me know how it works, and if it works good, I'll buy me one.
Yeah, there you go.
After I buy me and my wife one of those little cabins.
Yeah. I'll let you know because like I said, I don't like going out and snow blowing and it hurts. Yeah, it's not just cold; it hurts.
Well, we haven't experienced here yet, but usually in the middle of January, we're going out there blowing a foot of snow with the wind blowing, and it blows right back in your face, and, it's like 10 degrees outside, and you're like, this sucks.
Yeah.
You're thinking, exactly. I'd like to be anywhere else but here
now. And anytime you get a snow blow when it's dark out, that's cold.
Yeah. Well, we have a big bright street light kind of
I'm not worried about the darkness garage. I'm just talking about the coldness, at night the sun goes down and it gets cold.
We get the coldness during the daytime here.
Yeah, but if you get the sun out, especially this, because it's got a clear plastic roof on the top, so if the sun's out, you get the greenhouse effect and it helps warm up the cab too during the
day. So he's got tomato plants on the street, Jack Daniels in one hand and a cigar.
Get the garden ready on the JD while I'm snow blowing.
Yeah, we don't usually have the sunlight. We don't get a lot of sun here in the wintertime.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I know it gets cold in the daylight too, Barty. But chances are, if it's cold,
it's colder at night.
It's colder at night when you're doing it. Even if it's cold during the day, it's even colder at night.
Darkness equals fucking cold.
I agree. I tend not to snowblow in fucking cold darkness.
Yeah, sometimes you don't have that choice.
Yeah, you come home from work, and like, I can't even get in the damn driveway right now until I snowblow.
Oh, well, I have a sweet bride that takes care of that before I get home.
Unless you drive a 4x4 Jeep.
Yes, that's true, too.
Yeah, that too. But
you really don't have to snowblow, let's just face it, if you got the Jeep.
Keep trampling it down.
Well, actually, if you get like 2-3 feet of snow, the Jeep will high center on the top of the snow.
Oh, no. I've seen YouTube videos and I've never seen a Jeep get stuck.
I can tell you by personal experience, right? I have gotten...
Right, Joel? We've watched videos.
You just need a really heavy right foot and a little bit of a running room.
They never get stuck.
Yeah. Well, I don't have much of a running room to speak of with my driveway, but I got the old Jeep, not this Jeep, but the old Jeep. I got it stuck twice in the pile of snow that the snow plow leaves at the end of the driveway. Because it high centered, and I could put in full four wheel drive. All four tires were spinning and not touching anything but snow. And trust me, when you're doing that, you ain't going no place. So the only thing I could do was to get a shovel and dig the snow out until at least one pair of tires was touching the ground, and have somebody push on the other end of the Jeep. And put it in four-wheel drive and push it forward and get it to go.
I think, Barney, you just had a defective Jeep.
No, I had like 4 or 5 feet of snow and a 3-foot ground clearance on the Jeep. Uh-huh. And the Jeep got on the top of the snow and sat there.
All right, that's it. We're putting the lift kit on your Jeep.
Yeah.
Tires.
Yeah, well, this Jeep has got taller tires. Mm-hmm. I mean, the other one had, I guess they were both 17-inch tires, but this Jeep is a little bit higher than the last Jeep, and it's got heavier duty gear ratios front and back, where the other Jeep only had the heavy duties in the back and the regular in the front. This has got the same, this is a Rubicon, so it's got the same ones front and back. So I might have a better chance with this one. But the thing is, if the Jeep gets up off the ground, if the tires can't touch the ground, the tires can't go anywhere.
I've seen magic Jeeps fly. That's how I'm doing.
Well, yeah, you can do that in mud and dirt because they land on something. But with snow, it's a whole other story.
I'm looking at it, Barty, and I say, if a Jeep gets stuck in snow, it must be the driver's fault.
No, unless it's heading towards a garage, because
no, it must be the driver's fault.
If you're going down a road, you can go as fast as you want, but if you're heading towards a garage,
ask Michael. He never gets stuck in his Jeep, right, Michael?
I'm just not getting involved in this one. No.
But Michael, Michael, speaking of Jeeps and heat,
yes. So I finally, after changing the thermostat out and making some more progress, and I think I talked about that because as I went to go change the thermostat out, the first thing you got to do is loosen up the tensioner on the serpentine belt. And I took 1/8 of a turn on that tensioner, and it snapped right off. And I'm like, oh, great. Oh, wonderful. At least the bolt snapped. Yeah, the bolt snapped off on the adjustment side, not on the tensioning side. So was able to disassemble the idler pulley entirely, still get the serpentine belt off, take apart the assembly, put in a new thermostat, and sure enough, I had a little more heat, but not a lot. And at that point, I was able to put my hand on the supply hose, which was now really hot, and the return hose was not hot at all. I'm like, okay, it's time for a serious back flush on the heater core. Mm-hmm. So I brought it into the Jeep doctor. And I did that when I went down to the Green Bay office in the last trip and came back and got in the Jeep and turned it on and start heading down the road, and before that needle even came off the cold side of the temperature indication, I had heat.
Yeah!
So for the first time since I bought this particular vehicle, it actually has heat. It's not burn you out of the vehicle like the black Jeep, but it's quite comfortable, and it's enough to keep the windshield clean and heat up the Jeep. But I did have to get a new tensioner. The Jeep doctor was having trouble finding one, and I said, well, let me go online and see what I can find. And I did find a couple for like $60, which I thought was a little pricey.
Yeah.
And then I found this really neat place out on the West Coast called Morris 4x4 and Off-Road Center. And the tensioner, the bolts, everything, including shipping, was
$1,788.
Wow. Ooh, can't beat
that. Gotta like that.
And in a couple of days, just good service. And they specialize in Jeep Wranglers. So I have a new favorite place. Don't even have to go to Craigslist or Amazon. I go right to this place because they had the part for my 97 Jeep. That's a good sign.
Yes, nice. Yes.
And what was this called again?
Morris Off-Road.
Cool. Thanks.
Yep. Okay. I can send you a link later if you want. But very impressed with these guys. And they got me the parts, you know, I ordered it just before Christmas, and they got me, you know, the parts over the holidays almost like right away, right to my doorstep. So go back. We're going to change that tensioner out. Still got a couple of other little things I'm looking at, but I'm really comfortable with David taking over this vehicle at this point. It's driving really well. It's got heat. It's comfortable. It's very bare bones. I said, you know, do you want to swap out with the other Jeep because the other one's got a little more creature comforts? He's like, nope, this is a good college car. This is cool. Like,
good. Awesome.
So Dad is happy.
Good to hear.
Absolutely. Well, I guess that means I'm next, which is, speaking of beaching vehicles, with the trampling of the snow in my driveway due to the lack of plowing it, Goldfinger, in its age,
sorry, we haven't heard it in a while.
That was funny because you got to right before I said, oh, Barry, what did he say?
Goldfinger, in his age, has, well, let's just say the rear coil springs and suspension's a little on the saggy side. And I talked about it in our last podcast back in 88. about, wow, I need some more damn ground clearance. I put these studded snow tires on, which are smaller than the factory size tires, but God, do these things bite. And because I don't get stuck. And then again, I will come into I usually come into most snow piles and areas at warp factor 9.3. But I said, I need ground clearance. So I started doing a little research and some more research. And I came across, pardon me, an entire suspension conversion kit that these cars came, some of them with air ride suspension, which the bags always blow out and the car just sags. This one doesn't have the air ride, but the conversion kit gives you new coil springs, new rear struts, which are like shocks, new front springs and struts all together. And they're super heavy duty, so it will not only raise the car above higher normal factory height. And then I got thinking, well, if I'm tearing, you know, going to Dr. Kenny's and throwing this car on the lift and tearing this shit out, I am going to put some what's called spring cups. And spring cups are mount where the coil springs go, and the coil springs sit inside of them and mount. And they're adjustable up to 5 more inches.
Ah! Wow.
So I said, you know what? For another $60, I'll throw cups on this sucker and then spacer plates off the front struts and put a 5-inch lift kit over top of the already higher factory suspension when it rolled off the line in 99. So that stuff is on its way. So when it's all said and done, if you guys remember the AMC Eagle?
Yes.
Those cars, station wagons, and how they used to sit up real high. Imagine a 1990, well, sold as a 98, but it was a 99 Oldsmobile, about 3 inches taller than the tallest Eagle you've ever found.
Yeah, so my dad had one of those Eagles for a few years.
Yep. And I'm saying to myself, you know what? I don't think I'm going to really like driving this car now, because it'll be the only Oldsmobile I've ever seen with a lift kit. So, and then I thought a little bit deeper, and I thought, well, I got my set of snow tires on, and that's pretty cool. And I toyed with this idea, and I mentioned it in the last podcast. And well, because I have so much lift, I can run 30-inch truck tires on it. Which will raise it up another 2.5 to 3 inches higher.
That damn thing is going to look dangerous.
You have to put a... You have to put a step up on to get into the car.
Well, between that and then I was looking for... I was talking, you know, from our last podcast and talking with Barty. And so I researched it further. Basically, as far as a LED light bar.
Mm-hmm.
So putting has amber on the sides, yep, and then clear in the front, plus basically the same as you see in police cruisers, the push bar,
yeah,
the bar that comes up over the front nose.
Yeah.
So yeah, a few parts have been put on order, and then I thought, well, I might as well throw a new trunk lid on it because there's a little wrinkle in it from when that idiot hit me in all those podcasts ago, mm-hmm, last winter, and I thought, what's a good color? Ah, I know, matte black. So I'll shoot it in spring. But for now, it'll have the lift kit, the push bar, and the LED bars on it. And then I thought, I'll make a visor for it. I might as well, I'm gonna pretty much Mad Max this car out.
Fantastic.
And I thought, you know what? Why the hell not? Yeah. Everybody else's car looks the same. And then, you know, I'll enjoy driving it. And at the same time, too, it will be a head turner.
It'll be one scary-ass looking car.
Oh, I saw the funniest thing, and I was telling Debbie this. We were coming out of the grocery store, and I said, "Yep, I've already decided that's what I'm doing. It's my winter car. It's my beater anyway. I already have another truck. I have my Dodge. I got the Jeep that they work on. I'm looking at another 4x4. So I'll be back up to 5 cars, and we were looking for one for Debbie. We found a Jeep, so we're working a few things out there.
Can't she like borrow a car from work? Like sales guys do?
No, it doesn't work that way.
Oh,
right.
Too bad.
The Jeep.
And besides, any proper person wants a Jeep.
Yes, and she wants one. She instantly said, I want a 3-inch body lift kit and 31-inch tires on it.
Well, yeah, so she can get up the driveway.
I mean,
she can get up any fucking thing with that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, she's got the neons doing a hell of a job now, but I almost beached Goldfinger because it's sagging in the driveway. Well, granted, I had 5 bags worth of wood pellets in it. And I'm like, oh, this thing is just sagging bad. And I'm like, I've got So, I mean, that being the case, I thought, I'm going to Mad Max the fuck out of this car. So much so, when I came out of the grocery store, I saw a guy who had an F-350 diesel truck that had the same push bar. A homemade one with spikes on the front of it. I'm like, it was so, you know, the blacked out with the bead locker wheels, lift kit, the whole. I'm like, I'm totally going that direction.
And you better be providing all of us pictures. Because, we all want to see the fucking thing.
I'm actually doing before and after. So when it sits in the bay at Dr. Keddie's, before I even put it up on the lift, picture of the stock height with a little, and I'll take a ruler and you'll see just how saggy it is. Then after the suspension, and then with the push bar, then with the LEDs, and then eventually when it's all matte black with truck tires on it.
Nice, damn nice.
And I've already started the idea of doing. I started doing the AutoCAD drawings for the visor over the front windshield, just like you see on the pickup trucks.
God. Oh, Mad Max.
I'm going to have fun with this.
This will be amazing.
Yep. And so my wife said, well, you'll have this mean monster-looking Mad Max car. She said, but it's just going to purr like a kitten. I said, no, it won't, because I'm ripping the exhaust off of it, and I'm putting glass packs on it.
Things going to snarl down the road.
I don't know. After a few days of commuting with that.
Every vehicle I have ever driven, and you can attest to this, Barry, in the 11-12 years we've been friends, have I ever had a vehicle that wasn't loud?
Oh, that's true. Long commutes, that I've, though. I know. You've had a long commute ever since I've known you.
Exactly. So, I'm not changing the one on Rambo. I'm keeping the exhaust factory on that. But this car,
presence. If you're going to make it a Mad Max car, it's got to sound like a Mad Max car.
Exactly.
And Barry, how many of your neighbors have ever complained about Joel showing up? I mean, other than Joel, just, the loudness of his vehicles.
Well, we won't say the police drive by every time Joel shows up.
Yeah, when I used to have the Falcon in my 350
but is
diesel.
That because Joel's there or because of the vehicle?
I don't think it's Joel.
Well, I mean, we used to do the podcast, and then I'd go out to fire up my diesel, and I had straight 4-inch exhaust on that, no mufflers. Yeah. And that thing was wow.
Yes, it was.
I bet it was.
Yeah.
God, I missed that thing. And I'm like, I fucking missed that truck so much, I should have never got rid of it.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I missed that truck.
Should have at least recorded it.
Yeah. Should have, could have, would have, but it didn't.
Yeah.
So I figure, now's a good time for a do-over. I'll do it to the car and keep on moving forward from there.
All right.
Sounds like you have a great plan. Can't wait to see the pictures and hear the sounds.
Yep. Well, like I said, before and afters, and I'll shoot a video, and then from there, we'll see what kind of heads we can turn.
All right. Well, let's move on because I think
I got to jump in.
Okay, go ahead.
Because of the late start, there's something I need to take care of back at the house, and it can't be postponed. So I'm going to have to sign with you guys.
Yeah.
Great to talk to you tonight. Sorry I'm bowing out early, but
okay. No problem.
As I said, it can't be postponed. So you all take care.
Okay.
And be sure to have somebody log on and take a look at the back channel chat on Facebook tonight. It's pretty hilarious with the group. Okay. Everything from Canadian podcasters to even Jeremy Rowe jumped in and gave a thumbs up to the conversation. We played his music in the past. So pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Nice. Okay.
But from the suburbs of Copper Harbor, I got to jump out, guys. I got a family thing I got to take care of.
Okay.
But, good to hear. Right.
Hey, Michael, it's great hearing from you again. I sure have missed you the past few weeks that we haven't been talking. So great to hear from you. Glad to hear that things are going great with you guys.
Yep. Good to hear you too, Barty.
Okay, Michael.
Talk to you later, Michael.
Joel. Later.
We'll see ya.
Catch you later.
And we're almost done here, so we're going to go because I realized that when I set up the software that I know it's got to be late, but my display is showing beats per minute.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my Skype timer is at 1 hour, 55 minutes.
Okay, because right now I'm showing that we just passed 3382 beats per minute, which...
Awesome. There we go.
Are you counting heartbeats or what?
Yeah, it's beats per minute. I don't even know what it's set to show. So I gotta make an adjustment there. But let's get into entertainment last month. Hello and welcome to Entertainment Last Month, where we talk about old movies and TV shows that are new to us.
Hey, I'm interested in hearing your update, Barry, because this is a show that I'm interested in.
I kept seeing, and actually, after saying what Entertainment Last Month's about, I'm actually going to talk about a current show that's on CIFI. Mm-hmm. And I kept seeing commercials for it this week. And make sure you tune back in to for the rest of the season, because I guess they took a break over the holidays. But they kept showing scenes from a show called The Expanse. And I said, what is this about? And I looked online and I said, well, they've already had 4 episodes. Shame on me for not knowing about it. But I checked the magic antenna and, kind of like a TARDIS, it is able to go back in time and get these things for me. And so the magic antenna got the the 4 episodes that have been shown already on Sci-Fi. And, well, let's just say I marathoned them last night because I could not stop watching it.
Really? Because this is a show that I saw the ads for as well, and I was kind of interested in it just as you were.
Yes, it's it takes place in the 23rd century. And the world, as with these, what has happened is humans, Earth, has expanded out and pretty much settled and is working in the entire solar system. And so there are basically 3 ongoing stories and 3 basically places where people live and work. There's Earth, which is now governed by the UN. And that's one group. And then there's Mars, which was colonized by, you know, obviously Earth, but they've kind of separated and they're their own faction, colony, Mars, and they have their own military and everything. And then there's the people that work in the asteroids and in the belt. And these people work and everything there. And it's kind of a, from what I can tell, it's kind of a hodgepodge of both Earthlings and Mars. And this has been going on for some time. So there's been people that actually, you know, went there. And, of course, they had kids out there. They have this one city that's built inside a giant asteroid. The people, the kids that were born there, of course, with the low gravity and everything, they grow quite tall, fairly tall, and they usually have skinny arms and everything, and long arms, long bones with that are kind of soft. So basically, they can't really spend any time on Earth unless they're like in a water tank, because they can't take the gravity of Earth. So that's just that's just kind of one of the things. But there's this whole faction, and the UN and Mars are about right. Tensions are high, and it just takes one spark to make these guys go to war. And of course, the belt people are kind of in the middle. And it's
that is pretty amazing. There was a science fiction series of novels that I read that was pretty much parallel to
it
that.
It might be based on that. I don't know.
I like this. I have to check this out.
I'm telling you, it was interesting. Like I said, I marathoned the four shows, and it kept me going. There's lots of action. There's lots of story. Actually, 3 stories going on simultaneously right now, and from what I could tell by the credits, it is a Canadian production. So,
really?
Yes. Yes, really digging The Expanse, and I highly recommend people go check it out.
Yeah, I'm pretty interested in that, too. Yeah, thanks, Barry.
Sure.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I want to look into it.
Yeah.
I wanted to throw in real quick, too. There's a show starting that really caught my eye that's on, it's coming on the History Channel, and it premieres Sunday, January 10th at 10 p.m., and the name of the show is Live to Tell. And essentially, it's about armed forces and stories that they are telling about, you know, the war on terror and how they were deployed in Afghanistan. And it looks incredibly good. Set your DVRs.
Yeah, definitely. Very good.
Yeah, that does sound pretty good. Yeah. Thanks, Joe.
And other than that, movies I saw, we watched the Man from U.N.C.L.E. movie, which Anne-Marie really enjoyed. I enjoyed it too, but she used to watch the Man from U.N.C.L.E. on TV, and she said they did a pretty good job keeping the look and feel.
There's a Man from U.N.C.L.E.
movie?
Oh,
yeah, yeah. And it's based in the 60s too. So
I used to love the TV show. Yeah. I haven't heard that there was a movie.
Yeah, there's a movie, and it's. I think it's probably playing out. I mean, it's no longer in theaters now. It's been out for a while. The Magic Antenna caught us for it.
But old movie.
You should be able to get. Well, it's not that old. No, it was out like last year. in probably the springtime. I forget when it came out.
I've never heard of it.
They made it, and it's...
I used to love that show.
Well, if you love the show, you probably like the movie. Because Anne-Marie used to watch the show. I didn't watch the show that much, so...
Oh, the show was so cool because it was, like, so campy.
Yeah. Well,
that,
this is...
You know, it was hilarious. You know, it was almost like a... Not quite to the extent that Get Smart was, but it was along the same line.
Well, this one's kind of campy, too. And like I said, I don't remember watching many Man from U.N.C.L.E.s when I was growing up, but Anne-Marie saw all of them, and she said this movie did it justice. So,
Well... I will definitely trust Anne-Marie's opinion. So.
And we got stuck. I forget what weekend it was. It was, I guess, the weekend after Christmas. Who was it? What show? They were doing a marathon of Downton. Oh, it was PBS. They were doing a marathon of Downton Abbeys from the beginning all the way through, I guess, to the end. And that's one of those things, if you sit down and watch it, you get stuck, and you start watching it, and it was just flowing one show after the other. And I finally told her on Sunday, I said, no, you can't put this on, because I got stuff to do, and if I sit down and start watching it, I'm not going to move my ass from the lazy boy, you know? And and of course, for the people here in the States, Downton Abbey starts in January. We've already seen it.
It is addictive.
Yeah, we saw the final season.
It is addictive, and I can tell you from listening to Barry talk about his lazy boy, I copied him and bought one. And I tell you, I use any excuse I can to sit in that damn lazy boy and kick back. Yeah.
But Downton Abbey, I came up with a drinking game.
Abby.
Yeah, anytime Lady, what's her name? The Lady Grand with the old lady. Whenever she has a witty, sarcastic comeback to somebody, that's you have to drink, and that's about once every 15 minutes in that show.
I was going to say, it won't take too long before you get wasted.
Then you won't remember the show.
At one point, Anne-Marie was upstairs and I was downstairs and we were watching. We weren't doing that, but anytime one of those moments came up, we'd scream out, drink!
Oh, that's pretty awesome.
It is a good show. I mean, I got addicted to it. So we've got two shows left to watch on the final season. So I've got them. But it's just, of course, the final season's just starting in January on PBS, Masterpiece Theater. So, all right. I think that's going to do it for us. Because we've gone long, and we got to try to get these things shorter. So we do have a musical guest tonight. We're still doing my picks. And I've got to say, this goes back again to my high school days. I would say my high school days were mid-70s. It came out. It's Herbie Hancock and his song Chameleon, which you've probably heard marching bands all over the place play this song. Herbie Hancock's is way better than any marching band. So,
like a marching band could touch this.
Well, they play it. I played it in high school too. It was a good one for the stands, where you sat in the stands and played during a football game. So with that, we also want to say to our military members out there, both CONUS and OCONUS, thanks for what you're doing, and especially you OCONUS guys, stay safe, and hopefully you'll get home to your family and friends real soon. Until then, we'll keep the home fires burning for you. And so with that, from the Monadnock region in southwest New Hampshire, I'm Barry J.
And from south central New Hampshire, this is Joel.
And from the Tug Hill region of central New York, this is Barty.
And that'll do it for 203, 204 coming up soon. And hopefully I'll get this one out this week. I'm trying to keep on target this time. So,
nope. Don't make promises, yeah, Barry. Don't make promises. Try.
Okay. So until then, here's Herbie Hancock.
We'll be right back.
Samson, speak. Good boy.